content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Hugh Bennett from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. Our cover story this week, Transformation, the game-changing announcement of the site for a future children's hospital, is a major jolt for Viridia and Apex. Before the cover story, we'll go to the Biz section. Biz is written and compiled by managing editor Dane Huffman. Future of historic hospital uncertain. Gibson Play Plaza adds fresh energy as Dix Park looks at future options. Dix Park has been a long time coming, but the energy exuding from the Gibson Play Plaza has only hiked interest in the park as it now weighs the future of the historic hospital. Raleigh bought the park from the state for $52 million in 2015, but plans inched along, slowed by the pandemic. Backed by the Dix Park Conservancy, Dix Park opened the Greg Poole Jr. All Faiths Chapel, a lively dog park, revamped many of the buildings, and turned electric poles into sunflowers, and 5 acres of sunflowers became a local sensation. The Play Plaza, built for $73.5 million, has families pouring in. Until we opened the Gibson Play Plaza, people didn't know what a destination park really was, said Kate Pierce, executive director of Dix Park. We've seen so many people say, I can't believe we have this in Raleigh. Restoring the Rocky Branch Creek to a natural state is one of the next priorities. Also important, Pierce said, is that the NC Department of Health and Human Services is on target to leave all of its Dix offices for its new home this year. With DHHS having thousands of employees at Dix, that meant the park focused on other areas such as the Gibson Play Plaza. The most significant building remains the three-story hospital, which dates to 1856. The challenge now is to find a viable future for a building with a footprint that dates to before the Civil War. There's a lot of emotion tied to that building, Pierce said. That's one of the biggest questions. Turning a building of that age and design into a boutique hotel would prove difficult and expensive. One possibility that's more likely for the short term might be housing something such as the Conservation Corps there for a while and then looking for requests for proposals later to test the market. We're having those conversations right now, Pierce said. Longtime restaurant closes at Crabtree Valley. Brio Italian Grill has permanently closed at Crabtree Valley Mall after its parent company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on August 18th. Signs posted at the restaurant said, Crabtree is closed. We thank you for your patronage. And lists other North Carolina locations in Cherokee and at the Friendly Center in Greensboro for customers to visit. The restaurant space is located next to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar and the former Uncle Julio's space. Brio's owner, Earl Enterprises, based in Orlando, Florida, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy under the LLC Bravo Rio Restaurants. Brio's Crabtree Valley Mall location was one of 6 underperforming restaurant locations that closed ahead of the August 18th bankruptcy filing. Charlotte firm changes direction in Briar Creek. In another example of pivoting away from office space, a Charlotte firm is rethinking its strategy for Briar Creek. American Asset Corp. is changing its plans for the final phases of the Briar Creek Town Center plan development. It has filed an amendment to its rezoning for 18 acres between Briar Creek Corporate Center and Briar Creek Commons Shopping Center. The developer is looking to change the permitted uses, modify the traffic analysis, and remove the airport overlay district. The amendment, if approved, would allow for removing the office uses, reduce the commercial entitlement, and add 186 hotel rooms and 24 multifamily units. The application states that office space is, quote, not projected to be a viable development option in the current environment where businesses are decreasing their office footprint, unquote. Graduate Hotel now planned near NC State. A parking lot across from the Memorial Bell Tower at NC State University is now scheduled to join the Graduate Hotel chain. Investors Mark Andrews and Michael Sandman are switching plans for a piece of property valued at just over $1 million. Earlier ideas for the site were condos and apartments. The Graduate Hotel are hotels are located near colleges and feature collegiate sports-themed decor. The one near UNC Chapel Hill has a mock basketball arena, and rooms have wood floors like a gymnasium and headboards like basketball backboards. Carry to add another Mexican restaurant. Mezcalito, a Tex-Mex chain with six locations in North Carolina, plans to open its first Carry location in 1102 Walnut Street, according to town permits. The space, which formerly held an on-the-border Mexican grill and cantina, is located at the intersection of Walnut Street and Southeast Maynard Road, less than 2 miles from downtown Carry. Mezcalito's owners opened the first location in 2019 and now have locations in Apex, Beaufort, Clayton, Durham, Goldsboro, and Henderson. We'll turn now to the cover story, and as time permits, we'll go back and read some of the reporter pages. The new Apex of Children's Care. Dollars development flow to new home for Children's Hospital. The cover story this week is written by Zach Ezone and Kaylee Thompson. Pulling off U.S. 1 and driving down a parkway surrounded by pine trees and tobacco fields, two leaders at UNC Chapel Hill and Duke University found what they wanted. The two universities and their respective health systems are fierce rivals. Their basketball games rivet both campuses and millions of fans across the country. The healthcare competition is also ferocious, as UNC Health and Duke Health pitch state regulators for the right to add hospital beds and the millions of dollars that flow from those decisions. But when it comes to treating children, a public school in Chapel Hill and a private one in Durham found common ground on a 230-acre property near Apex. Duke Health CEO Craig Albanese and UNC Health CEO Wesley Burks drove together to the site earlier this year as they searched for a home for a future $3 billion children's hospital as a centerpiece of the joint North Carolina Children's Health Initiative. You could see it's a lot of pine trees right now and a couple of old tobacco barns, Burke said, but you could get a sense of the easy access of it, the amount of land that there's to really create something new and novel and unique, and a huge resource for the people of North Carolina. The health systems have selected a large tract of land within the enormous Viridia development along U.S. 1 and Highway 540 for a campus that will elevate health care options for children in North Carolina and the region, while also creating thousands of jobs and transforming Apex and surrounding communities. Even for a triangle market, accustomed to winning economic development projects, it ranks as one of the most transformative decisions since IBM arrived in Research Triangle Park in 1965. And it was a huge win for Viridia, a project in the works since 2007, but one that has started to take shape since RXR of New York came aboard in 2023. Initial plans at the North Carolina Children's Campus include a 500-bed pediatric hospital, a 70-bed behavioral health hospital, and medical and administrative office buildings of 350,000 square feet and 200,000 square feet, respectively. The hospital will likely bring children and families from across the U.S. and other countries to Apex to seek care for complex and rare conditions. Children's hospitals in other states have served as catalysts for the nearby development of hotels, restaurants, and other businesses. Leaders of the local Ronald McDonald House Charities nonprofit expect a potential future residential facility supporting this hospital to be among the largest in the world. Operating a children's hospital campus of this size will require more than 8,000 employees while indirectly creating nearly 10,000 additional jobs. These numbers alone could make it one of the largest economic development projects in North Carolina, surpassing Apple's plans to bring 3,000 jobs to RTP. But building a children's hospital is unlike other projects. Duke and UNC are developing a campus intended to last for a century or more, said Andy Willis, Executive Chief Planning and Development Officer for North Carolina Children's Health, the nonprofit Duke and UNC created to lead and operate this hospital. It's going to have grand economic benefits to the state of North Carolina, Willis said, but explaining the size, scope, and scale took us a bit longer because we wanted to make sure that Apex understood what it was and what it was going to mean going forward. Although the economic benefit could be transformational, the primary goal is to improve health care options for children in North Carolina. Last year, North Carolina's Medicaid programs sent about 5,000 children to other states for care. These are often children with rare, complex diseases who could not find the care they needed despite the numerous hospitals and medical schools throughout the state. Burks notes that both he and Albanese came up the medical ranks as pediatricians. Craig and I trained in children's hospitals, and so we've seen the impact these facilities can have on a patient and a family in the community, he said. We've done well in North Carolina, but we can do better, and this enables us to do much, much better. For RXR's local leader, getting the children's hospital to rise at Viridia is personal. Joe Graziozzi, Sr., Executive Vice President of Residential Construction and Development for RXR, has two nephews who were treated at children's hospitals in New York. One has had four brain surgeries, and each time Graziozzi was there. He even included his nephew's journeys in his development pitch to UNC and Duke 8 months ago. But that Viridia, which has been in the works for nearly 20 years, would land such a coveted project once seemed unlikely. Back in 2023, the General Assembly allocated $320 million to UNC to support developing a children's hospital in the Triangle. NC Children's wanted at least 150 acres with easy transportation access and proximity to the airport, and narrowed an initial list of five sites. Two of those were already available on the market, including Viridia and IBM's former large campus in Durham County. But the clear early leader was Cary. Reedy Creek Investments, LLC, an entity owned by SAS CEO Jim Goodnight, owned land in Cary that was one of those sites being considered, as multiple sources told Triangle Business Journal. Mayor Harold Weinbrecht said part of the SAS campus was in the running and that UNC and Duke loved the location, but it didn't provide longevity and the price was too high. When it came to a final decision, they had to pick a site for a 150-year campus, which could grow over time. They told us they found a site in Apex at a much lower selling price, Weinbrecht said. RXR acquired the Viridia land through a partnership with North Carolina Retirement Systems, a division of the Department of State Treasurer that administers the pension funds for state and local government employees. The Retirement Systems and RXR in late 2022 formed a partnership to invest certain monies for NCRS, with the Retirement Systems taking a 99% equity ownership stake, according to the State Treasurer's Office. Moss Withers, CEO and principal of Lee & Associates, who represented RXR in the purchase of Viridia land, said he came to RXR with an idea in early 2024 for the 225 acres that will now be the Children's Hospital. The idea was to market the available land as a potential campus or headquarters. We actually started taking this out confidentially to the North Carolina Chamber, NCEDP, that's the North Carolina Economic Development Partnership, all the bigger organizations, some of the site selectors nationwide, to say, if you have somebody, a regional or a big headquarters looking in the Raleigh-Durham market, please keep this in mind. Coincidentally, around the same time is when the hospital said, we're starting to go out here and look for sites. We pivoted really quickly to say this could be that site and made some cold calls and phone calls. We've been in the business long enough to know the UNC real estate team, the Duke real estate team, so when we saw that they were out there looking at that joint partnership, we reached out to them directly and said, would you ever consider this? Initially, there was quiet, but then they came on and they moved pretty quickly to say, let's put this into the mix and see if we can get this going. NC Children's also evaluated sites in Durham and Orange counties, but Willis said Duke and UNC had agreed to not build it in each other's backyard. Apex and Wake County embraced the project, and because of the growth in the area, local planners have already addressed potential transportation concerns. However, in the long term, Apex and Holly Springs will have to continue planning for water and wastewater availability, Willis said. We did our due diligence on those, and the Apex site, to be bluntly honest, came out on top, he said. NC Children's found several children's hospitals around the country it would try to emulate in some way, including Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. The hospital has ties to an academic medical center in Ohio State University and the sort of research portfolio NC Children's wants to develop. The Ohio hospital has around 15,000 employees, which includes about 1,000 medical doctors, surgeons, anesthesiologists, pathologists, and psychologists. The hospital also has about 2,000 people, including faculty, who are focused on its research portfolio of about $170 million annually, said Dennis Durbin, president of the Abigail Wexner Research Institute at Nationwide. Nationwide in the 1980s built out its first dedicated research building, a facility of about 150,000 square feet, and has continued to add more buildings to its campus every 10 or 15 years, Durbin said, The dedicated research space at the main hospital campus is now around 800,000 square feet. Investing in this research enterprise allows hospitals to be on the leading edge of advancing new therapies, Durbin said. For institutions like ours, and I'm sure for this children's hospital in North Carolina, that would be the overall motivating reason why they want to ensure that they can conduct research as well as deliver care, because they want to be delivering the best care now and defining what the best care looks like, Durbin said. Secondarily, that becomes a reputation enhancer for the organization and helps the organization recruit sort of the best and brightest. In addition to research, Nationwide is also building out its medical facilities and recently began construction on a $1.3 billion tower that will add more than 400 beds to the more than 500 already on the campus. The project is expected to create an additional 7,500 jobs. These types of projects, while job creators on their own, also attract various types of developments such as hotels and restaurants. Most of the kids we're going to take care of will come and stay for weeks and months, Willis said. But the families can just sit there in a hospital all day long. You have to have common things around them. Dan Gerlach, former president of the Golden Leaf Foundation, worked with staff at the NC Department of Commerce to analyze the potential economic impact of the Children's Hospital. One of the models estimates the Children's Hospital will create 8,492 direct jobs and another 9,726 indirect jobs. According to this model, the project would also boost state gross domestic product by $28.8 billion over 20 years. A separate model estimates the hospital would generate about $1.37 billion in annual labor income through both direct and indirect jobs and about $82 million in annual state taxes. The economic impact could be even larger than these numbers predict. For example, this modeling did not include development that will occur because of the hospital. There are people who are going to be traveling from all over the state, probably from beyond the state's borders, to visit the hospital with their children, Gerlach said. So there will be some kind of effect on hotels and stuff like that in the area. Ronald McDonald House Charities of the Triangle will fill an important role in offering families a place to stay. Currently, the nonprofit operates 103 residential units across three facilities near UNC, Duke, and Wake Med Health and Hospitals in Raleigh. Last year, the nonprofit served children from 34 states and 97 of North Carolina's 100 counties. These families can stay at the facilities from anywhere between a few days to multiple years, CEO Oy Osterkamp said. The nonprofit is coordinating with NC Children's about developing a new facility in Apex. Osterkamp said it's too early to determine the size, but this could be one of the largest Ronald McDonald houses in the world. People are going to be coming here from all over the state, all over the country, and all over the world, said the, and that's our song sheet, Osterkamp said. They're going to need a place to stay. Also playing a role in the new hospital are community colleges such as Wake Tech and Durham Tech. Wake Tech in 2023 acquired 34 acres within the Viridia development for about $6.8 million. The college bought the land to build a new campus in western Wake County and replace an existing site it leases at a shopping plaza in Cary. Now the college is accelerating its initial plans and evaluating the types of programs it will offer. President Scott Rawls describes Wake Tech as the county's primary health care educator, training all positions the hospital may need except doctors. But for NC Children's, those 8,000 jobs will also include trained electricians and IT workers, among others. It's a surge in healthcare needs, but it's overall job growth because of all the skilled positions at the hospital, Ross said. Another question is, where will everybody live? Viridia will have thousands of homes, townhomes, and apartments, but it won't be enough. Originally, the plan was for around 8,000 residential units, but RXR's plans are now shifting. Lennar's homes within Viridia will be a mix of townhomes, two-over-two condominiums, and single-family homes. Construction will start in early 2026, with first homes delivering in mid-2027, well before the hospital even gets started. It's all going to feel pretty dense, said Gavin Williford, vice president of land acquisition at Lennar. We always anticipated that Viridia was going to be a full economic center and would be a big draw. So while the hospital puts a face to what that's going to be, our plan assumed something like that was going to happen. At one point, it was supposed to be a corporate headquarters, so it's not like, oh no, the hospital's there, we have to go change our plan. We already were anticipating something major. Outside of Viridia, but still in the apex, Lennar is also building Carolina Springs, which will have 837 homes and 100. This must be a typo. 837 homes and 150 homes. Maybe they meant townhomes. Carolina Springs will border the hospital, but on the west side of Interstate 540. In Holly Springs, Lennar is building Norris Crossing, a 150-home project along Avent Ferry Road. Across Chatham County's line is the Conservancy at Jordan Lake project with 1,500 homes. Chatham County and even into Lee and Harnett counties are where people might choose to live. Apex only has about 1,000 acres of vacant, undeveloped land in its corporate limits, an extraterritorial jurisdiction, according to Joanna Helms, Director of Economic Development for Apex. And even then, those vacant acres are not necessarily available or developable. Developable. That's a strange word. In Holly Springs, only half the town's nearly 12,000 acres has been developed. Chatham Park and Disney's upcoming 4,000-home Asteria community could be another place that people who work at the hospital could live. But as the growth expands in Apex, infrastructure becomes a challenge. Apex has been anticipating massive growth in this area for a long time, and in 2021 it started planning for it. That plan included extending water and sewer lines down Highway 1, along with a wastewater force main to a brand new wastewater treatment plant. That new treatment facility is currently under construction. Two pump stations will be built, Big Branch 1 and Big Branch 2, that will service Viridia and NC Children's. The town is currently building one, while RXR is building the other. Without these pump stations and new wastewater treatment plant, Viridia can't open up, nor can the new hospital. But the new lines running down Highway 1 only extend about 5 miles, and growth will spread far beyond that. With that comes challenges of how to plan for it, how to pay for it, and the impact fees are very expensive. It's hard to buoy 500 houses, 100 houses, 1,000 houses, said Chester Allen, Executive Vice President of the Land Service Group at CBRE. It's very hard for that cost of just residential to build these big pump stations. I don't see any easy way to do it, but it's kind of a regional plan that needs to happen on getting utilities out to these places. For example, Chatham County doesn't have much in the way of utilities outside of Pittsburgh. To build new residential communities in the rural land running south and southwest of Apex, home builders and developers will have to build wastewater treatment plants, and those cost millions of dollars, depending on the size of the facility. Towns are having to foot the bill for wastewater treatment plants, which isn't an easy feat when typically it's the smaller towns that need to build additional infrastructure, and those places often don't have the budget or funding for it. Graziose said the pump station RXR is building costs about $20 million. Water and sewer, I think, is always going to be an issue for Wake County in the next 20 years, Willis said. Sarah Godwin, partner and senior vice president at Foundry Commercial, said Apex leaders were wise to act when they did. This area was really sort of the hole in the donut, if you will. It's the only area of town that truly had no development as the Viridia project got wrapped up and finally sold to RXR, she said. So they've been really forward-looking. Securing more funding is key. Although the General Assembly in 2023 allocated $320 million toward the project, NC Children's officials are advocating for additional funds, but state lawmakers have not yet agreed on an amount. Everybody is for the concept of a new children's hospital, but there are competing priorities, and I get that, Willis said. This is not a one-and-done sort of thing. This is a big enough project, it's going to take a continued effort. Children's hospitals are proficient fundraisers. In Atlanta, for example, Arthur Blank, co-founder of Home Depot, donated $200 million to the New Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Willis estimates that NC Children's could raise around $500 million from a combined 10 to 15 groups or individuals. NC Children's plans to launch a fundraising campaign to reach people throughout the state. We're going to figure out that threshold this fall of what we actually need to have, when we need to have it, and the kind of cash flow it from there before we start doing too much digging in the ground, Willis said. Uncertainty around the future of Medicaid due to changes in federal legislation complicates the funding picture, but Duke's Albanese is confident the financials will work out. How to predict what it will look like is going to be very difficult because it's several years in the future, But there will be a combination of government, philanthropy, as well as the generation of debt, Albanese said. And put all this together, we're able to make it work. Leading that in the beginning is UNC's Birx. Long before he led UNC Health, Birx was a pediatrician. He earned his medical degree from the University of Arkansas and completed his residency at Arkansas Children's Hospital. After leaving Arkansas, Birx helped lead a pediatrics division at Duke before becoming physician-in-chief of UNC's Children's Hospital at UNC in 2011. Throughout his career, Birx has pushed for better health outcomes for children. Now he steps down as CEO of UNC Health to become chair of NC Children's Board. I'm ready to go. I know our team is ready to go, Birx said. Our children deserve the very, very best care at home, and that's what this will do. We have a couple of related articles to our cover story, and I'll read those here. The first one written by Kaylee Thompson. Viridia is a major opportunity for a New York developer. RXR is a family business, at least for Joe Graziosi Sr. and his son Joe Graziosi Jr., it is. Together, they run the construction and development branch of the New York Development Company. Except Joe Sr. has to answer to his son, since Joe Jr. is the president of construction and development. On top of that, Graziosi Sr. and RXR CEO Scott Reckler are so close, they're like family. Once when Graziosi Sr. was lamenting the topography and infrastructure challenges of the Viridia site, Reckler told him, "You're just getting old and grumpy. Stop it. You'll figure it out. No is not in your vocabulary." And that's just what he did as the RXR landed a new children's hospital for its 1,100-acre site in Apex. "We've been very successful, RXR and me personally, in building relationships, curating those relationships, keeping them long-term and working with people, especially when we're outside of home, for lack of better words," Graziosi Sr. said. "My team teases me that when we're traveling together and they're like, 'Joe, I don't understand how every Uber driver knows you and how you could walk down Apex Main Street and everybody knows you.' I put the time in to be part of a community, and that's what RXR is really good at. Since RXR's purchase of the site in February 2023, he has frequently traveled from his home in Long Island, each time making the Maiten and Carry his home. Peck and Plume, his dining room table, and the third floor of the Highline building in downtown Apex, his office. Even his daughter, a rising senior in high school, is considering attending UNC Chapel Hill. RXR mostly builds in places like New York City, Long Island, and Philadelphia, but it has developed projects similar in density to Viridia. Its $4 billion master development in New Rochelle, New York, will create a new downtown for that city a mile outside of Manhattan. It will have up to 1.2 million square feet of office space, 1 million square feet of retail, 6,370 residential units, and 1,200 hotel rooms. Already, RXR has opened three of the residential towers, totaling more than 1,000 units and thousands of square feet of retail space. It's Glen Cove redevelopment just outside Manhattan that will have 1,000 housing units, 75,000 square feet of commercial and retail space, and 28 acres of waterfront promenades and parks on just 56 acres in total. Still, Graziosi Sr. knows few opportunities exist that are similar to the 1,100 acres available at Viridia. One piece of land over 1,000 acres surrounded by three major arteries, 540 being incredibly major, it was definitely a diamond in the rough, he said. Since its inception in 2007, RXR has amassed more than $17 billion in assets under management, owns more than 100 properties, and built more than 10,000 residential units. Mr. Graziosi is also featured in the next article, written by Kate Tracy, "Viridia Sees Retail Interest Surge After Hospital Deal." Everyone wants a slice of the Viridia pie. Joe Graziosi Sr., with RXR Partners, has heard from all sorts of business operators, all clamoring to get a deal in place at the new Apex development now that the North Carolina Children's Hospital is coming. Surf parks, fitness operators, hoteliers, grocers, and other retailers are calling him all day long. RXR has dozens of letters of intent with potential picks. It's one thing to fill the vast amount of retail and hospitality space that RXR Partners is planning at Viridia, where the hospital will take 230 of the 1,100 acres. It's another thing entirely to carefully select the right mix of businesses and hotels that will appeal to everyone, hospital workers, doctors, hospital patients, their families, and Viridia residents. At first, Graziosi was doubtful that officials at the North Carolina Children's would take interest in Viridia, but the fact that Viridia has substantial retail and hospitality in its plans worked in RXR's favor. Having such amenities in close proximity will be significant for our patients who may be traveling from all over North Carolina, the southeastern region, and beyond to connect with the world-class care we aim to provide, hospital officials said in a statement. The plans for Viridia's East Village are furthest along. In Block B and Block C, RXR is planning a three-story buildings with 70,000 square feet of retail in addition to office space. The first phase will also include one hotel, although Graziosi said there could be 3 to 5 hotels at Viridia in the future. Graziosi wants to start construction on the whole retail portion of the project by next summer. The need is there right now, he said, noting that he is Mr. Apex and yet stays at the Maiton Hotel in Cary when he's in the market. The closest hotels to the future hospital site are clustered around Highway 51 and East William Street and include WoodSpring Suites, Candlewood Suites, and Holiday Inn Express. One bright spot in Apex Hotel development is that Apex's Sweetwater Town Center is getting a Tempo by Hilton Hotel that plans to open in late 2026. Graziosi said it will be important for the hotels coming to Viridia to have ample event space because there's none around here. When it comes to retail at Viridia, Graziosi described the retail feel as, quote, downtown hometown. He's less concerned about landing luxury retailers as he is about simply creating a place for people to eat, buy clothing, and purchase dry goods. Walkability is a priority, as is having front-facing buildings with the possibility of adding a social district in the future. I want it to feel approachable. I want components to be affordable. I want to support the local community, Graziosi said. RXR still has around 200 acres of land right next to the hospital campus that does not have a solid plan yet. We're looking at housing, we're looking at hotels, we're looking at more of the support services that will be needed, restaurant, retail, stuff like that, Graziosi said. Wendy Neighbors with Grub Ventures is handling retail leasing at Viridia. We have time for some of the reporter pages. Let's start with the Greater Triangle section, which is written by Ben Tobin. In Edgecombe County, Tarboro delays data center vote. The future of a multi-billion-dollar data center project is uncertain after Tarboro postponed a vote following more than 3 hours of discussion on August 18th. Following an evidentiary hearing, the Tarboro Town Council voted to continue the discussion at its September 8th meeting regarding a special use permit application for a data center and energy storage project on more than 50 acres on the south side of Anaconda Road between McNair Road and Western Boulevard. Energy Storage Solutions, a Robertsonville-based LLC, is the developer for the project. Dan Schaefer, one of the members of Energy Storage Solutions, recently told Triangle Business Journal that the project will entail a $6.4 billion investment and create around 500 jobs, paying from $50,000 to $250,000 annually. Unlike a standard public hearing, evidentiary hearings require speakers to be sworn in as witnesses and limit testimony to subject matter experts or individuals directly impacted by the project. The strong majority of the hearing involved witnesses called by Schaefer to support the project. The council decided it needed more time to make an informed decision. Based on project materials submitted to the town, the data center project will be built with significant redundancy in its energy support system. Electricity was a big talking point during the meeting. Schaefer said by building a substation on site, the project will have the capacity to generate twice as much power as we need. But not everyone agreed. Janelle Wilson, a resident of Tarboro and manager at the Rocky Mountain Institute, who specializes in electric utility regulation and policy, said there were several spurious assumptions asserted by witnesses prior to me this evening about the certainty of gas supply and the certainty that this project will not increase our rates as residential customers of Dominion Energy and Piedmont Gas. In Johnston County, senior housing plan faces key vote in Clayton. An affordable housing developer is eyeing Clayton for a new senior living complex, but some residents are not happy about it. Dominium based in Minnesota, submitted a request to conditionally rezone 8 acres off Pritchard Road to clear the way for a 167-unit facility and a 6,405-square-foot commercial building. Following a contentious two-hour discussion last month, the Clayton Planning Board voted to recommend approval. The town council was scheduled to vote on the rezoning during a follow-up meeting, but the item was pushed back to September. The proposal has faced local opposition. During the planning board meeting last month, close to 20 residents spoke against the proposal, mainly citing safety concerns. In Moore County, Southern Pines to buy First Bank headquarters. In a move to centralize its operations, Southern Pines is set to pay millions to acquire the headquarters of a regional bank. The town of Southern Pines is acquiring First Bank's office building at 300 Southwest Broad Street downtown for $6.4 million. The 21,000-square-foot building has served as its headquarters since 2013. First Bank said it plans to keep its headquarters in Southern Pines and is scoping out a new location. Founded in 1935, First Bank, with more than $12 billion in assets, employs 1,350 people and serves 330,000 customers, according to its website. Mayor Taylor Clement said in a statement that the building will mark the town's first official town hall. By bringing a significant number of our staff together under one roof, we will improve efficiency, make it easier for residents to access services, and reduce the long-term maintenance expenses that come with operating multiple aging properties, Clement said. And finally, in Vance County, a Raleigh restaurant group sells Popeyes. A Montana investor has scooped up a popular chicken chain's new restaurant near Interstate 85 in Henderson. Pop Hen 25, an LLC that North Carolina Secretary of State filings show has an address in Columbia Falls, Montana, purchased a Popeyes Louisiana Kitchen restaurant at 1207 Dabney Drive for a little more than $2.4 million earlier this month, according to Vance County deed records. The seller is Raleigh Popeyes franchisee Wildor Restaurant Group, which purchased the land the Popeyes now sits on for $625,000 in 2020. The group also sold a Popeyes location in Wilson in June to a California entity. Charles E. Bright IV is listed as president of Wildor Restaurant Group in Secretary of State filings. Last year, a Popeyes in Johnson County was sold to an out-of-state group. Much of Vance County is rural, with the county's population sitting around 42,000, according to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. Henderson is the largest municipality and county seat for Vance, containing more than one-third of the county's population. As such, the area has the most retail opportunities of anywhere in the county. Dabney Drive gets a lot of traffic, as it is located off exit 213 on Interstate 85. Kaylee Thompson updates us on the news and happenings in the real estate and development world. Developer lands Cary Properties. A group of neighbors in downtown Cary have sealed a real estate deal that comes to more than $4 million per acre as developers continue to scoop up valuable land in the booming town. The owners of 12 properties on Walnut and Walker Streets across from the downtown Cary Park and Cary Regional Library came together to sell their land to Avalon Bay, according to Wake County deed records. The multifamily real estate investor and developer based in Arlington, Virginia, paid $13.1 million for 3.16 acres and plans to build an apartment complex with ground floor retail. About 3 years ago, one of the sellers, Tucker Hayes, started getting everyone together to discuss assembling the land and selling together. My family had been on the block forever, so there was some familiarity there, he said. Hey, I'm Tucker Hayes. I live right around the corner from you. I'm not a realtor and I'm not a developer. I think that went a long way. I don't want to buy your property, but I do want to see you do good on it and my family do well on theirs. The group waited till the downtown Cary Park was complete. It opened in November 2023 before taking the assemblage to market. JLL listed the properties in spring of 2024 and received more than 20 offers. The brokerage team, led by Director Teddy Hobbs, narrowed it down to 10. Mary Grace Clarkson, Director of Development for Avalon Bay, said the company considers itself really lucky to have been selected. The site has the walkability and adjacency to such a vibrant downtown. Being within a block of the downtown Cary Park is huge. There's nothing like it. Avalon Bay has submitted initial site plans to the town for 283 apartments and 4,786 square feet of retail space. A Wake Forest office building is back on the market. A Wake Forest office building is up for sale again just weeks after being sold. The Flex building, leased to drone company Anduril, is listed again after being purchased by Kevin Neshat, founder of New Image Surgical and Dental Implant Center. There is no list price posted for the 30,000-square-foot building at 204 Capcom Avenue. It was part of a two-building transaction that Neshat bought for $11 million, according to Wake County deed records. The 204 Capcom building is assessed at $11.96 million. The new listing from City Plat says the property is leased by Anduril through June of 2027, but that Anduril is now focusing on a new Ohio campus. Anduril previously acquired Blue Force, which was using the building. Former Lord Corp HQ looks for new tenant. The building that once housed the headquarters of Lord Corp in Cary is looking for a new tenant. The office space at 200 Lord Drive in McGregor Park was recently listed for lease, according to Parker Hannifin, the Ohio-based company that bought Lord Corp in 2019 for $3.7 billion. The three-story building went up for lease in April. Advertising its full 48,284 square feet of space is available, according to LoopNet. It was built in 2015. It's a fairly new facility in a premier location with excellent amenities for its next tenant, said Parker Hannifin spokesman Chris Farage. Lord Corp, now a division of Parker Hannifin, has about 275 employees in Cary. It had just under 400 local employees 6 years ago, according to Triangle Business Research. At the time of buyout, Parker Hannifin, which develops motion and control technology, said the plan was to keep much of the Lord business in Cary, from its structural adhesive products to its noise vibration unit. The former headquarters is one of seven buildings across two parcels that are under the ownership of Parker Hannifin, according to property records. The Lord deal closed in 2019. Parker Hannifin, with around 60,000 employees globally, had revenue of nearly $20 billion in fiscal 2024. Lauren Onosorge contributed to that report. And finally, affordable housing coming near St. Augs. The final project in the redevelopment near St. Augustine's University is coming together. DHIC has filed site plans with the City of Raleigh for Fisher Grove, the final parcel in its Washington Terrace redevelopment. Fisher Grove is proposed to have 166 affordable units, medical office space, and retail space. Natalie Britt, Senior Vice President of Real Estate Development, said DHIC anticipates being through the site review process in November 2026. Fisher Grove will be on 4.44 acres at 401 Elders Grove Way. DHIC has owned the site since 2014 as part of its redevelopment of the Washington Terrace community along Raleigh Boulevard. It developed the Village at Washington Terrace, the Barbara H. Curtis Center, which is a child care center, Booker Park North, and Washington Terrace Apartments. It also sold lots to Stanley Martin Homes to build for-sale townhomes. Zach Ezone has kindly provided the healthcare and life sciences section for us. Gene therapy firm adds $300 million raise. A biotechnology company in Research Triangle Park has raised more than $300 million to support its ambitious gene therapy plans. Crea Therapeutics disclosed a $313.3 million raise in a regulatory filing August 15th. Before this recent funding, Crea had raised more than $600 million since its founding in 2019. The biotech secured the new funding from two investors, according to a public securities filing. The company did not disclose the source of the funds or how it plans to use the additional capital. A company representative declined to comment on the raise, and executives were not made available to discuss the firm's plans going forward. But the sizable raise stands out amid a years-long stretch of difficult funding environments for biotech, including waning momentum for gene therapy. CEO Shankar Ramaswamy co-founded Crea in 2019 with a vision of developing gene therapies for prevalent conditions affecting millions of people. The company's pipeline includes preclinical and clinical programs targeting chronic diseases in the area of ophthalmology, metabolic disease, and neurology. Crea has offices in California and North Carolina, with its manufacturing and research and development operations based in RTP. CREA in 2023 secured an additional $150 million in capital, extending a Series C financing round to $420 million. The company also in 2021 raised $100 million in a Series B round. CREA earlier this year began a clinical trial evaluating its gene therapy product candidate CREA 825 in patients with geographic atrophy, an eye condition that can lead to vision loss. This phase 1/2 study is aimed at evaluating its safety and tolerability while also determining how effective it is in slowing the growth of geographic atrophy lesions in a patient's treated eye. CEO to leave NC Innovation amid scrutiny. The leader of a nonprofit backed by hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars will step down in the coming months amid calls by some state lawmakers to claw back the organization's funding. Bennett Waters plans to leave his role as president and CEO of NC Innovation in early 2026. Waters has led the organization, which is focused on advancing research at North Carolina universities in commercial opportunities since 2022. Waters, in a statement, said, "With goals met, results delivered, and NC Innovation in its strongest position to date, my family and I have decided now is the right time to consider my next chapter," Waters said. But lawmakers in both the State House and Senate have introduced legislation to claw back funding allocated to NC Innovation. The Senate in April released a budget proposal that would take back the state funding and force NC Innovation to operate on a cash flow model. Raleigh College sues to keep accreditation. An embattled university in Raleigh will remain accredited for the fall semester after filing a lawsuit against its accrediting agency. St. Augustine's University on August 14th filed a lawsuit in federal court in Georgia against its accrediting agency, which had voted to remove the school from its membership due to its financial situation. A judge on August 15th ordered the accreditor to reinstate St. Augustine's membership, preserving the school's ability to participate in federal student aid programs. The university said classes will virtual starting September 2nd, but with likely far fewer students than it had just a few years ago. During the 2022 to 2023 academic year, 1,251 students were enrolled, a number that dropped to 175 in the 2024-2025 year. And finally, UNC Health to expand in Holly Springs. UNC Health has secured approval to expand the hospital in Holly Springs. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has approved the health system's request to add 24 observation beds at UNC Rex Holly Springs Hospital, which opened in late 2021. The additional beds will address some of the hospital's operational constraints and support future growth. UNC plans to build out the hospital's seventh floor, which currently includes 24,736 square feet of shelled space. The project is expected to cost about $18.49 million and be complete by November 2026. The hospital does not have any designated observation beds. Instead, it operates 50 licensed acute care beds, including two neonatal beds and 12 obstetric beds. This leaves 36 beds for medical and surgical use, which observation patients frequently occupy, leading to ongoing challenges finding acute bed capacity for medical surgical patients, UNC said in its application. Given the hospital's current position, the proposed project will preserve existing licensed bed capacity, limit the use of these resources to care for its growing observation patient census, and provide a cost-effective means of preparation for future expansion, UNC said in its application. The On the Coast section is written by Dane Huffman. In Carteret County, wedding bells ring sound of success. Beaufort retains a picturesque small-town charm rarely matched along the North Carolina coast, but if you float along Taylor's Creek to a spot only a mile from the main area, you'll find a stunning hotel and event space. The Beaufort Hotel has a southern style but echoes the grand hotels you'd see in New England. For decades, the site was the home of a fishery for menhaden. Now, of course, Carteret County fishes for tourists. So in 2019, Bucky Oliver, who founded a company that brokers aircraft sales, and his wife, Wendy Oliver, opened the Beaufort Hotel. "He's very business-minded," said Trey Hardesty, the hotel's director of sales and marketing, who knew there was a need for this kind of facility down here. The hotel is managed by Raleigh's Concord Hospitality with a portfolio that includes North Hills Renaissance and AC Hotel. The Beaufort Hotel includes 133 rooms, which is large for Carteret County, and the restaurant, 34 degrees north, has a heavy dose of local seafood. The hotel even runs a shuttle to town so guests can head in or locals can come to the restaurant and bar for dinner and drinks. But what's really significant about the property is its 10,000 square feet of meeting space. We can do seated events of up to about 300 people, Hardesty said. He said the venue has hosted as many as 140 weddings in a year, and Hardesty said the spot also hosts multiple events for state associations based in Raleigh. The Beaufort Hotel draws a ton of its guests from the Triangle, Hardesty said, while the Triad, Eastern North Carolina, and Virginia are also big draws. We're a seasonal property. Summer and fall is busier, he said. The shoulder seasons are great. It helps that there are so many activities down there. Coastal sandwich shops get national nod. To celebrate National Sandwich Month, Yelp has devised its first list of the top 100 sandwich shops in America. Two North Carolina spots made the list, and both are in coastal locations. The first is The Half in Wilmington, located in the Port City's Brooklyn Arts District. The Half, which ranked number 56 overall, has a 4.8-star rating out of 5 on Yelp with more than 160 reviews. Many of the reviews cited the restaurant's high-end sandwiches and beer selection. Popular sandwiches at the eatery include the Superette, the chipped ham sandwich, and the Italian parts unknown. The other Tar Heel steak spot on the list was Wave Riders Coffee, Deli, and Market in Nag's Head, which ranked number 92. Highlighted sandwiches there include breakfast sandwiches such as the Eddie V and the Sweet and Salty. Wave Riders has a 4.7-star rating on Yelp out of more than 320 reviews. The top-rated sandwich shop on the list is Frankie's Deli Warehouse in Hialeah, Florida, followed by Sierra Subs and Salads in Three Rivers, California, and Tony's Beachhurst Deli in Whitestone, New York. Yelp says the list was determined based on identified businesses in the sandwich category, then ranked using a number of factors, including the total volume and ratings of reviews. And on a personal note, I can say I have eaten at The Half in Wilmington, and I did have a very delicious sandwich there. I don't remember what it was, though. Social District in Emerald Isle pulled for now. Social districts have been gathering steam across North Carolina, with cities such as Raleigh and Durham adding areas where residents can walk around and enjoy a drink. The whole concept is intended to help bolster retail areas in a way that's fun and controlled. But an effort to put a social district in Emerald Isle hit a snag August 12th, just before a meeting of the Board of Commissioners. The town posted on Facebook, quote, "The applicants have withdrawn their request for the proposed Emerald Isle's backyard social district from the meeting agenda for tonight's Board of Commissioners meeting," unquote. The concept had been proposed for the K&V Plaza by three restaurants there, according to WNCT. The concept could still go forward at a future meeting. One person posting on the town's Facebook page sounded perplexed at the opposition, while others felt the idea had not been fully fleshed out. Boat remains stuck on Cape Hatteras shore. The North Carolina coast is accustomed to its share of shipwrecks, with Confederate blockade runners and even German U-boats settled on the ocean's bottom. But Cape Hatteras National Seashore has had an unusual sight in recent weeks, as a 32-foot sailboat, the Pura Vida, has been sitting on the edge of the beach, slowly filling up with sand. The Outer Banks Voice reported August 12th that the ship was still there after several weeks. The newspaper reported that the owner, Dominic Tarzia, is in jail in Carteret County, facing felony charges related to stolen goods. He has a court date set for September 5th. The newspaper reported that the Cape Hatteras National Seashore was evaluating options on how to remove the boat, which was still there on August 15th. From the retail and restaurant section written by Kate Tracy, Artsy Wine Venue comes to Wake Forest. Wake Forest is gaining an artsy wine experience amid a flurry of retail activity in the area. Franchisee Lorelei Hopkins is opening wine and design this fall at 11216 Capitol Boulevard in the Wake Point Retail Center. The business will host painting events, arts camps for kids, and other art experiences for wine-sipping guests. Hopkins called the 1,500-square-foot space north of Main Street unbeatable. It was the former home of an aquarium supply store called the Urban Anemone. There's a lot of new construction happening all over the place, but we wanted something that had a proven track record of foot traffic and was well established in the community already, Hopkins said. Wine and Design, headquartered in Raleigh, has venues across the country, including 23 in North Carolina, according to its website. I enjoy that at Wine and Design I get to teach people of all ages, kids, adults, and everybody in between, and everybody who comes my way wants to be there, which is all really great, Hopkins said. In addition to painting, Wine and Design offers other art classes like resin pouring, stained glass, ceramics painting, and more. Although Wine and Design customers usually bring their own wine or beer, Hopkins said she plans to pursue an ABC permit to sell alcohol in her store. An artist herself, Hopkins received a degree from UNC Chapel Hill in archaeology. Before pursuing a doctoral degree in archaeology, she decided to get more teaching experience, so she taught elementary school art for 3 years. When she started having children of her own, she landed a job at Wine and Design's Raleigh location. She decided to jump at the opportunity to open her own studio last year. Hopkins plans to hire 2 to 3 artists to start and will add more employees as needed. The franchise fee at Wine and Design is $25,000, according to its website. And Poole's Diner has unveiled a fresh look. Acclaimed Raleigh chef Ashley Christensen has wrapped up a long-awaited project at one of her downtown restaurants. Christensen has reopened the double horseshoe counter at Poole's Diner on McDowell Street. The counter was temporarily closed as the restaurant went through an expansion and renovation to move the main dining room, kitchen, and bar next door to an adjacent building. The double horseshoe is where the spirit of Poole's truly lives, Christensen said in a news release. She's owned Poole's since 2007 and initially opened as Poole's Pie Shop in 1945. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.